His word is the source of all we know, and faith in his words makes all things possible. Being fully persuaded that God's word is true and righteous altogether is totally foundational to the excellent Christian life and eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans 4:20 and 21 speaks of Brother Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Adam and Eve were immortal and dwelt in paradise, which required faith in God's word. When Adam opened his eyes for the first time, he had no knowledge of what had transpired before him, except for what God told him. Eve was made by the hand of God from Adam's rib. When Eve opened her eyes for the first time, she had no idea of what had transpired before her, except for what God and Adam told her. But it wasn't long before faith was broken. As a result of unbelief and the disobedience that followed, Adam and Eve lost immortality and were booted from paradise that very same day. Unfortunately for the newlyweds, sin and death became their future and the future of all their progeny. The most marvelously good news is that God made a way of escape. That was a way of escape, and it's his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes, you can simply reverse the order of events that brought on your parents' demise, restore your immortality, and regain paradise. As we believe in God's word, turning from our evil ways, all is restored. It all begins at the place Jesus calls born again. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, born a literal second time, this time spiritually, as a son or daughter of God? In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, you will be born again today. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be clean. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, the bigger the better. You will be free. Today, believe upon the Christ of glory. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject. God said, Genesis 1, 3, 4, and 5, And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, John chapter 1, 7 through 9, The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God said, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Man said, as a puckish example, Carl Sagan wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths. Yea, what he said, show me the truths. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1,222, that will for the 1,222nd time certify the supernatural inerrancy of God's marvelous Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as ammunition in the battle for the lost souls of the sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or for even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. I recently reviewed an advertisement from a magazine called Free Inquiry that also has a problem with the God of creation and the first book of the Bible called Genesis. Under the heading, "Is God Big Enough for the Universe?" Free Inquiry writes, "The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and the earth in less than a week. This feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors, even though they thought the heavens extended only so far as the sky above them. Of course, they did not know what stars, planets, or galaxies were. We now know that the universe is so much bigger and so much more complex," end of quote. The born-again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? Well, I suppose they did. But God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said Man series will be called the Genesis series. It is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. Words are of imperial importance. They comprise everything with which we have to do. Verses like the three following drive home this truth. Psalms 33, verse 6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Proverbs 18, 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." When you see words in the Scriptures or a strange grouping of them that seem out of place, it's time to stop and pay extra attention. An excellent example is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. The importance of this pronouncement made 2,000 years ago is staggering, and it will be demonstrated in this feature, and it all begins on the first day of creation in Genesis chapter 1. I'm reminded of the earlier quote from the Free Inquiry magazine. "The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and earth in less than a week. This feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors." And then I'm reminded of what God had to say to the skeptics in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This next statement will sound facetious, but please know that this is surely at least an understatement. If God is light, and he is, then he can travel at the speed of light, which is 186,282.3968 miles per second, or 670,616,629 miles per hour, at least that fast. I would be surprised if he could not square that number. Do keep in mind that God filleth all things. God doesn't do magic. Luke speaks about Jesus vanishing out of the sight of the saints in Luke chapter 24, 31, writing, "And he vanished out of their sight." One quite simple explanation for this could be that in his glorified state, Jesus can travel at the speed of light, which is faster than the natural eye can see. Humor me for a second. Let's try to equate the speed of light with man time. We'll take a man at a jogging pace, somewhere between walking and running, and peg it at 5 miles per hour. The math is simple. Divide 670,616,629 by 5, and God's jogging speed would be 134,123,326 times faster than a human man's. If we equate God's speed to other life functions, then 6 24-hour human days could be 804,739,954 God days, or 2,204,767 years. But from our perspective, the time elapsed to create all things was still only 6 24-hour days. These are meditations, of course, and not hard conclusions, but they serve in a small way to demonstrate the magnitude of Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our 6 24-hour days of creation are still just 6 days with 24 hours in each, but our time is not God's time, even with whom time has no personal relevance. Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Science has come to the conclusion that light is sacred and immortal. Dr. Michael Gillen writes about light in his book, Believing is Seeing, and he says this: "Unlike the speed of a car or anything else in the universe, the speed of light doesn't depend on one's point of view. It's the same for everyone, everywhere, always. It's an absolute truth. The only speed in the universe with that supreme status, for reasons, mind you, we do not understand, it's a mystery. One final thing about light's puzzling sacredness: you and I can never accelerate to the speed of light, no matter how hard we try," end of quote. Dr. G. E. Schwartz and William L. Simon authored the book The G.O.D. Experiments and write the following concerning photons, which are packages of light energy. Photons not only have a kind of immortality, which is how we can see light that has traveled for millions, if not billions of years, but they also provide information with such precision and accuracy that incomprehensibly huge amounts of information can be contained in incomprehensibly small spaces, end of quote. Sacred, immortal. Once again, science finds itself knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. God is light, and yes, sacred and immortal. God said, "Let there be light," on the very first day of creation, when the sun, the moon, and the stars would not be created until the fourth day. Before God created the sun, which was not until the fourth day, there was light, and God called the light day. You might be surprised to know that scientific thought has now come to the conclusion that there was radiant light before the sun. 6,000 years before man fell upon such an idea, God's Word said it was so. In an article titled "The Origin of the Universe," published in American Scientist, written by Victor Weisskopf, the following statement was made: "Indeed, the Judeo-Christian tradition describes the beginning of the world in a way that is surprisingly similar to the scientific model. Previously, it seemed scientifically unsound to have light created before the sun. The present scientific view does indeed assume the early universe to be filled with various kinds of radiation long before the sun was created," end of quote. Light before the sun. Yes, just like the Bible said. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, John chapter 8, verse 12. A strange grouping of words declares this of Jesus Christ in John 1, 6 through 9. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That's strange, right? Lighting every man that cometh into the world. Science has begun to see this light. The January-February 2017 issue of Discover publishes the following under the heading "Spark of Light." For potential parents struggling with fertility, bright eggs might be good eggs. Scientists at Northwestern University announced in April that they had recorded flashes of light from human eggs that may be an indicator of egg quality. Fertility clinics can identify healthy human sperm based on their movement and structure, but evaluating eggs has always been much less straightforward. Now, thanks to these flashes, that task could get a lot easier. The sparks are associated with eggs expelling the mineral zinc after they're injected with sperm-like enzymes. Federal law prohibits researchers from fertilizing eggs with actual sperm. The flashes, which appear as a halo around each egg, happen a few minutes after fertilization. Previous mouse experiments demonstrated that these flashes were more intense for higher quality fertilized eggs. If these fertility fireworks are also indicative of egg quality in humans, a question the Northwestern team intends to investigate, doctors could non-invasively select the best eggs for in vitro fertilization. End quote. The spark of life is Jesus Christ, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Note, every man, even at conception, and those with more light are always the best. Jesus Christ is life, and life more abundantly. He is the light of the world, most literally. Light before the sun and moon in the beginning. Yes. Now watch how it ends as God's word speaks of the glorious New Jerusalem, a city 1,500 miles cubed. Revelation 21:23 reads, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Genesis 1:3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." There is a cardinal law of science known as the first law of thermodynamics, which is also known as the law of conservation. This law states that matter and energy cannot be created, nor can they be destroyed. You can change its form, but not its quantity. For example, liquid water can be frozen solid or converted into a vapor, but the original quantity of water remains the same. You cannot add more water by freezing or reduce water by converting it to steam. Our water source is simply recycled. The water that we use today has been used before. 3,000 years ago, the first law of thermodynamics was defined in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past." The source of the earth's energy is the sun, in particular photons, packets of light energy. Science now knows that all matter is a product of energy. That's certainly true because God is light, the energy, the life force, the maker of all matter. The following excerpt is from the God Said, Man Said feature, Light Series, Part 2, Words in Light. Several years ago, God Said, Man Said reported that scientists in the last couple of decades have concluded that all physical matter is a product of energy. The earth's energy source is the sun, photons, light. 1 John 1:5 declares that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is the source of all light, and therefore all energy. Scientists now theorize that in the next few decades, the energy that creates all matter will be discovered to itself be created by knowledge and understanding. Note, energy, the source of all physical things, will be discovered to be a product of knowledge and understanding. All knowledge and understanding is formulated by words. Consider Proverbs 3:19. "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens." Proverbs 2:6. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Again from the book, The G.O.D. Experiments. In a most remarkable series of recent studies, William Tiller, professor emeritus from Stanford University, and his colleagues have been documenting how mental intentions can be imprinted in an electronic device that then alters the structure of systems even when the devices are shipped and tested thousands of miles from where they were imprinted. And my favorite example, Tiller and his colleagues have the devices imprinted with the intention that the pH of water will be increased. They then shipped the devices, along with control devices not imprinted with intention, across the country for blind testing in a laboratory. The imprinted devices, when placed near water, produce an alteration in the pH of water as recorded by a computer. The control devices, they do not. Tiller proposes that the mind is the original and ultimate organizing process. This parallels what the physicist Gerald L. Schroeder, Ph.D., author of The Science of God, proposes in the following quote: "Changing one's paradigm is not easy. Millennia passed before humankind discovered that energy is the basis of matter. It may take a few more years before we prove that wisdom and knowledge are the basis of and can actually create energy, which in turn creates matter." These are indeed paradigm-shaking experiments whose implications change our vision of everything, end of quote. Did you notice what creates? Wisdom and knowledge, and it is the wisdom and knowledge-laden words of God that created all things. Yes, God's words of wisdom and knowledge precede light, photons, and energy, and the scriptures clearly define this from the very first day. Genesis 1:3, and God said, you pay any attention? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Psalms 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. When science arrives at their next eureka moment, where wisdom and knowledge produce energy, they will discover that the children of faith have been there from the very first day. Until a soul is born again, it cannot comprehend the word of God, for it must be spiritually discerned. It will not yield its revelation to the arrogant. The first two features of the God Said, Man Said, the Genesis series have only addressed the first five verses of the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, and this information has surely not exhausted the issue. Genesis, by the way, has 50 chapters. Be of good cheer, child of God. Your faith in his word will not be disappointed. God's word is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will absolutely last forever. God said, Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, John 1:7-9, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God said, First John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Man said, as a puckish example, Carl Sagan wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths. Yeah, what did he say? Show me the truth. Now you have the record.